This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space, is here of The Space Show, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And we're looking at the moon and the contest said to be underway between the People's Republic of China's space program, which is heavily derivative of the Roscosmos program and the U.S. program in the 20th century, and NASA. NASA has augmented itself with private enterprise, chiefly SpaceX and Blue Origin, for big boosters. To sort this out, because there is contention everywhere, we welcome Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, who has been our voice on the Chinese program heretofore. And that might be the driver here, beat the Chinese back to the moon. For the Chinese, this would be the first time. But the most recent remarks by Mr. Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, who's been assigned as an interim Secretary of Administrator of NASA, Elon Musk, the principal of SpaceX, and Jared Isaacman, the former nominated representative to NASA's administration. Then his name was withdrawn, and now there's reason to believe he's being entertained again. Let's see, are there other voices? Not yet, but eventually we can hear from Mr. Bezos' camp. And if we don't hear from him, that's a voice as well. All of this is turning into a melodrama. So, gentlemen, a very good evening to you. I begin with you, Rick, because we need fundamentals here. The idea is to get to the moon by 28. Right now, there's SpaceX with the contract. Mr. Duffy announces that he's going to open the contract up to others. I believe that means Blue Origin, certainly. It could also mean Lockheed Martin. How so, Rick? What has Blue Origin got? What has Lockheed Martin got? What is the contest with SpaceX's Starship and Super Heavy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, I think we should begin with the fundamental driver of this week's events, and that's President Donald Trump. He has been told, or he's picked up by listening to media reports of the testimony of his former NASA director during his first term, Jim Bridenstine, that the United States is just not going to make its schedule. China is going to beat the United States back to the moon. And the Monday statements by interim NASA director Sean Duffy indicate that Trump has cracked the whip. He has demanded that the United States put its people back on the moon before he leaves office. And so this now requires that Duffy exercise leadership in opening up the American moon architecture to a competition that could go in one or two of two ways, as Duffy has indicated. It could result in the rapid development and building of a smaller new moon lander by Blue Origin or perhaps Lockheed Martin. Or it could result in probably what Trump has really wants is to put a foot on the backside of Elon Musk and get him to concentrate on demanding and getting progress out of his Starship human landing system contract to again, beat the Chinese back to the moon. Or, as Duffy also indicated on Monday, we could end up with both. I'm all in favor of the United States building multiple paths back to the moon, if only to better guarantee the survival and safety of what we hope is a ever increasing number of Americans and our Artemis Accord allies in populating the moon, which is just as important as getting there first.
David, you have a question for Rick.
Rick, given the status of Starship testing and development right now. Is there a whole lot Musk could do with the whip being cracked, so to speak, to make this 2028 timeline?
Well, David, he would best know the answer to that question. And what the Duffy announcement, I hope, is prompting his top leadership at SpaceX to demand is that Musk approve the formation of a list of whatever they need and need funded as quickly as possible to write the Starship program, to get it to its milestones that are necessary in order to achieve orbital flight, two-stage reusability, refueling in space, and prototyping and testing delivery to the moon.
Let's go through the technology here, Rick, very carefully. SpaceX has Super Heavy and Falcon Heavy boosters that are capable of answering some parts of the protocol. Blue Origin does not have a booster I'm familiar with that has been tested and, in addition to that, reused and tested. Lockheed Martin doesn't pretend to build a booster. It's building an astronaut compartment. Spam in a can was once called in NASA's history. So that tells me, by logic here, the one that's critical is SpaceX. They're not going anywhere without its boosters. Is that correct? Is that the whole of the library?
You've put it very succinctly, John. And yes, SpaceX has multiple options here. And it would behoove Secretary Duffy to consider his list of SpaceX options in addition to potential Blue Origin options. The Falcon Heavy is a very attractive alternative space launcher. But in a sense, it would only allow the United States to do an Apollo Part 2, in a sense, match what the Chinese are doing. I mean, the Chinese space launch vehicle, Long March 10, requires two SLVs in order to place the manned spacecraft and then the moon lander in lunar orbit. Falcon Heavy could potentially allow for the same kind of architecture, but it could probably be made ready faster, and it would also be financially attractive. It is far less expensive than the multi-billion-dollar space launch system that NASA is shackled with today.
David, you have a question.
So, as I understand it, you could use Falcon Heavy, or maybe Blue would get its act together on New Glenn, and you could possibly do that. But if they get to the moon, none of these people have a lander, a rover, anything to use on the surface of the moon yet. So that is a needed element. Or do they just plan to do Apollo and operate off of whatever capsule lands them on the moon? Because without a rover or some way to get around on the moon, they're prisoners to a radius around the capsule.
David, was Lockheed Martin the prime for the Constellation program lander?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I don't remember, but I do believe that they were the Orion capsule was part of that program that survived when they changed and canceled it and restructured it. But I don't think there was I don't know what the lander was for back then.
Well, it was essentially a much larger LEM. It was designed for a crew of four, and it looked kind of like the LEM, two-stage, big descent stage, and then a much smaller recovery stage. Are those files still available? Can they be dusted off and can the metal start bending very quickly? That's the big question I have when we look at Lockheed Martin.
I don't know that, but remember, they weren't going direct to the moon. They were going to the Gateway, and then from the Gateway, they dock and board the lunar lander that takes them down to the surface of the moon. So even SpaceX is using the Gateway. They're not going, while it has the capability of going directly to the moon, NASA has it going to the Gateway, and then they need that lander. So, you could get to the Gateway station, let's say with an Orion capsule probably, and a big booster, but then you still need a way to get down and operate on the surface of the moon. And I'm not seeing anything about that lunar. People have talked about resurrecting the Apollo lunar lander just to be able to meet this goal of quickly and affordably beating China to the moon. So that's been thrown out as a potential option. Re-engineer it and just use what worked before. But there's no policy on it or plan on it. But that's part of this meeting this deadline. It's, you're going to go to the Gateway, and then you got to get down to the surface of the moon. So the rocket is just a part of the problem.
Rick, what I have is that Boeing was tasked with building the capsule of the project that became the Orion spacecraft. I don't have the booster, but in any event, they were not building at the scale that Musk has built since then. They certainly weren't building reusability. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what is practical here, how it can happen, with, as opposed to the contention of some significant political voices. What about the engineering voices? David Livingston, Dr. Space, is my colleague and co-host, and we're speaking with Rick Fisher, who is our guide on the Chinese program in addition to the U.S. program, especially its capabilities of boosting. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World, the Hotel Mars Episode N.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.